This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So Cory Booker, Count Grandstangela, says we're going to go after beach umbrellas. Yep, it's true. And the Democrats are now going on the defensive because of the economy. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. 855-839-1210. And 1210, WPHU.com is our website. Tomorrow, big announcement we'll make on the show. Big announcement. Want to be here for that? You want to be here for our big announcement tomorrow on the program. I can't tell you what it is beforehand because I'm not allowed to. But if you listen tomorrow, you'll know. And we hope you do. Now, here's the deal. The economy is going gangbusters. So what do you do when the economy is going gangbusters? You try to change the subject and you try to find other things to talk about. That's why the whole Mueller investigation is top of news all the time. It's why collusion, obstruction, blah, 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 and nonsense. There's a very old rule in politics. It is the economy stupid. So when the economy is good, the incumbents win. When the economy is bad, the incumbents lose. That's a simple political axiom, political truth. Now, I want you to listen to this cut for a second. Now, Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey, Count Grandstangela Spartacus, he's on the CBS Morning Show, and he's talking about his plan to address gun violence. All right, cut five.
Switch to your new plan on guns. Why is licensing guns the solution?
Well, first of all, it's evidence-based. No, it works. In states like Connecticut that have done it, they have seen 40% drops in gun violence, 15% drops in suicide rates. But this is a bigger issue in America where we're not approaching it or taking it on in proportion to the gravity of the consequences of our inaction. Every day in America, we have in the aggregate a mass shooting, ripping apart communities, over 100 people dying of gun violence. We form governments to protect for the common defense. And here we have in my lifetime more people being killed by gun violence in every single war in our country's history from the Revolutionary War now combined. We must step up and deal with something that is crushing communities, destroying lives, and really just tearing apart families.
One of the pushbacks is you license guns, you make it more difficult for the honorable gun owner to get their to engage in their Second Amendment right, and the people who want to get guns and shoot each other in the street are going to do it anyway, you know, because no one enforces the law.
That kind of resignation frustrates me, to be honest, because we know that this is not a plan that any law-abiding gun owner should be concerned about. The people that should be concerned about it are two groups. One, people who want to break the law, gun runners and criminals, and the gun manufacturers who have been working with in an ungodly way to undermine the safety and security of this nation. Really attacking everything from consumer product safety to the CDC's ability to research these issues to even the ATF, which is starved by Congress and its inability to even enforce the laws we have.
Let's go through a couple of things here in this idiotic proposal from Cory Booker. Number one, what do you think about the idea of licensing gun owners, right? Licensing guns. Well, number one, people will tell you all the time, exactly like what John Dickerson said about licenses, that bad guys don't try to get guns, so they don't follow the rules. They try to get guns illegally. They don't try to do guns the normal way, so then they don't have to worry about, you know, you catching them. But there's another point, too, that I think is interesting, which is that he equates it to driving a car. You don't have a constitutional right to drive a car. You have a constitutional right to move freely around our country, but there's nothing about driving a car. Did you also notice, though, too, he talks about how many people have died, right? How many people have died? So he says now that people should also conduct interviews and that they would be the ultimate decider on whether Americans can buy a gun. All right. Booker then responded to another question about that when he said, let's not exaggerate what this is. It's actually really simple. We do it for passports. We do it for TSA PreCheck. We make sure that the documentation people are putting forward aligns with the truth. This is just basically licensing. We do this for people who are driving cars. Connecticut did this and they dropped the gun violence in their state by over 40%. Now, from Breitbart reporting this, the New Haven Register reported that the number of shootings in New Haven, Connecticut is more than double what it was the same time last year. Moreover, shootings in 2019 at this point have surpassed the number of shootings witnessed by this time in 2017. And that was written by A.W.R. Hawkins, who writes for the Second Amendment over at Breitbart. But why would data get in the way of a plan, right? Why would data get in the way of a plan to have government agents decide who gets guns and who doesn't? And that's really what this is, right? I mean, you'd have government agents decide who gets to buy guns and who doesn't based on an interview, like a TSA pre-check. And then, you know, if you fail the first one, can you get a second shot and then, you know, possibly then get, you know, another right to buy a gun and that sort of thing? Cory Booker has now pushed forward with one of the probably most aggressive gun-related proposals of anybody. And you know how he cushions it by saying how reasonable it is, right? And it sounds reasonable if you take a step back and go, well, I mean, what's the problem? We vet drivers, we vet people going on planes. What's the problem? As Caitlin Oprisco reports from Washington Examiner, Senator Cory Booker on Monday rolled out a sweeping gun control agenda that includes required licensing for all gun owners, one of the most aggressive gun-related proposals from a 2020 Democrat. The 14-point plan is part of what the New Jersey Democrat said was a personal fight to combat a gun violence epidemic. The core of the New Jersey senator's proposal is a federal gun licensing program that would require, among other things, a comprehensive FBI background check and proof of completion of a gun safety course. After a license is approved, holders could freely purchase and own firearms for the 5-year duration of their license, with regular automatic checks to flag noncompliance with license terms and the possibility of renewal. Now, this is a constitutional right that you would have to get a license for and would expire after 5 years. All right, so that's number one. Number two, the plan would ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, as well as bump stocks, and it calls for instituting a universal background check system that would be enforced on sales at gun shows and in private and online sales. In addition, Booker has proposed requiring gun manufacturers to implement a technology for handguns known as micro-stamping, which he said would help police trace bullet shell casings to the guns that fired them. And I'm curious about something. What does that do exactly to help? I've always wondered that, too. If somebody were to steal a gun and use that gun in the commission of a crime, they can trace the bullet back to my gun, but my gun's stolen. What does it exactly do? You know what it does? It raises the cost of a firearm is what it does. That's all it does. It just makes it more expensive. Like anything else, it makes it more expensive. The plan would lift a ban on federal funding for gun violence research, and it would bring more oversight to the industry by allowing regulation by the Consumer Product Safety Commission and by increasing funding to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, whose enforcement abilities Booker said were hamstrung by Congress. He's also vowed to go after the NRA specifically, citing recent media reports that the massively powerful group had mismanaged its finances and calling for the IRS to re-examine the group's tax-exempt status. So isn't that something how... You know, here's a senator, again, taking an oath to defend the Constitution. Second Amendment's in there. First Amendment's in there. But he wants to use the IRS as a weapon to go after the NRA. And that's considered reasonable. People go, oh, he sounds so reasonable. Why is it reasonable when government agencies are used to go after organizations that people in government don't like? You know, I mean, if a conservative candidate stood up there and said, we're going to use the IRS to go after Planned Parenthood. The outrage, the craziness, the gnashing of teeth, the hysteria would be out there. But with this, they go, yeah, sounds right. Yeah, probably should have the IRS go after him. And imagine now if you had any other right where the government had a screening process to see if you were eligible to exercise that constitutional right. Think about that. Imagine that. Imagine if we decided who can qualify for the Fourth Amendment. Or who gets to exercise the rights of a journalist? Like we have a government committee. A government committee that will interview people and give them licenses to be journalists. And that expires after 5 years. So after 5 years, the government can take away your right to be a journalist. You know, if it doesn't like the stories you're reporting or something like that. Or what if the government also said, you have a right to protest, but you have to pay and take a class on protesting so you know how to do it properly and to make sure that you don't cause any traffic concerns, nobody gets injured. So you have to take a protest safety class, pay a very large a fee to get your permit. Then you're allowed to protest your government. You know, you got to make sure you know how to write a letter to the editor. You got to make sure you know how to properly write a letter to a congressman. You know, call them the honorable so-and-so. There's a number of different forms that have to be followed here, you know. It's a couple of different etiquette factors. So we got to make sure you do all that. Then we'll give you 5 years of a protest license, which we could revoke at any time, and periodic renewals and that sort of thing. And then you have to renew that in 5 years. It's the only right in the Constitution, right, where they make you go through this. If you want a jury trial, you got to take a class. You got to know the courts. You got to be a lawyer before you can get a jury trial. Otherwise, we'll just have a judge decide. I mean, it's insane, but we are at a place where, of course, people don't want to admit that this right is in the Constitution. So they just want to say, let's make it as difficult as possible for people to exercise. And even John Dickerson, who's a, I call him the other guy. John Dickerson on CBS Morning Show asked the very relevant question, which is, aren't bad guys going to just go around this? And what's Booker's response? Count Grandstander's response is, yeah, that rhetoric, we can't govern that way. Why not? Why can't you govern that way? Why can't you govern that way? By recognizing that bad guys will find a way to go around whatever law you put in their place, and that it's not a matter of the fact that the authorities are not trying to prosecute. It's that the government works on spending so much time to make it difficult for legal gun owners to have their guns. I mean, just call it what it is. Not going to do anything to stop gun violence, because the people that are going to go through all this, for the most part, are not going to commit crimes. Just like every other law-abiding citizen who has a gun, for the most part, doesn't use that gun to commit crimes or shoot people or kill people, because that's not why they have a gun. But the whole idea of government deciding who gets to use this right and not that right, oh, that's a scary place. It's like when a Pennsylvania member of the legislature comes out and screams at people on the street because he doesn't like what they're protesting. It's an intimidation tactic. It's an intimidation tactic, and the same thing that happens, if we don't like the right you're trying to exercise, if we don't like what you're saying, we're going to intimidate you, we're going to shame you, we're going to try to shut you down and make it as impossible as ever. Imagine if we did have a protest license. So in order for you to protest, you had to go to a government class. And in that class, you had people like Representative Brian Sims, that jackass from Pennsylvania, who we've been talking about, who screams at this old lady, gets in her face. And he's one of the guest lecturers. And he says, so here's the deal. If you want this license, you have to agree on a couple things. Abortion is a constitutionally protected right. So therefore, you cannot protest outside an abortion clinic because it's a constitutionally protected right. With your protest license, if you want that protest license, you're not allowed to say anything that's disparaging to anyone who's gay or trans or this or that. If you do, you'll lose your protest license. I mean, do we want to be in that place where government decides which rights we can exercise and which rights we can't? No, of course not. But again, this is what I mean in terms of too often people on the left don't want to see freedom expanded. They want to see it limited to who they think should have it and to be used in the way that they think it should be used. Now, Booker's not all bad because he's also using his skills in the United States Senate now to go after beach umbrellas. Let me say that again in case you're drunk, because you might want to be. Cory Booker is going after beach umbrellas now because there have been now, according to a letter he put out, more than 31,000 umbrella-related injuries on the beach. And the scourge, this is, quote, the scourge of beach umbrellas is not a new phenomenon. They cite a woman in New York who received a $200,000 settlement from the state from an injury she incurred in 1999. The letter wants beach umbrella safety standards. And they want answers from the Consumer Product Protection License Board, blah, 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 by June 3rd. Beach staff say to avoid flying umbrellas, pay attention to the weather. If it gets too windy, it might not be the best idea to put up an umbrella. But now the Senate, the United States Senate, joined in. A brave, brave group of fearless leaders, including Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey. And by the way, that guy knows beaches. Am I right? I mean, that guy, he knows beaches and what beach umbrellas can really be used for, which is to hide your time with prostitutes, allegedly. Also, Tim Kaine and Cory Booker, making sure that no one anywhere ever, ever gets hit in the head with a beach umbrella. I want that giant meteor to come crashing. Not the one that they did in the NASA experiment. Killer asteroid destroys New York City in NASA simulation exercise. I want it to be real sometimes. This is one of those times. Hit me in the head with a beach umbrella right now, please. Make it go away. Beat me in the head with a beach umbrella is all I ask. It's all I ask. So glad you're here today. Let's see here. Joe is in Doylestown. Yes, Joe.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, and I'm fairly young, so I kind of swing, you know, more of an independent voter. But I kind of like Cory Booker's ideas for that five-year relicensing, but not for guns. I think it would be great if we had everybody retaking their license to drive every 5 years.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I don't disagree with you. I think that that's maybe 10, but yes, people should not just get the license for life.
Because that's like, I mean, I think the goal, and like I follow a lot of, you know, I listen to talk radio, I follow a lot of progressive YouTube shows and stuff. And I think that the goal there is like, the whole goal is let's try and reduce people dying. So it's like, well, why don't we go out, why don't we get people a license to smoke cigarettes or get people a license to, you know, re-license people for driving, because there's way more people that die in car accidents and those other kind of things.
It's a great
point.
And
you don't hear anybody talk about that. You never hear anybody say, well, why is everybody dying in car accidents? Because everybody's driving like a maniac way beyond, you know, that they should be, right?
It's that you make an excellent point, my friend. You really do, because you're using logic. That's why. You're using logic.
Yeah. And that's probably why I'm somewhere independent, and I don't really go with all the lefties all the time. Sometimes they have good ideas. Right? But for the most part, I think that they're just, like, I don't think Cory Booker's really a serious candidate. He's not progressive enough for the progressives. He's not too, he doesn't have as much name identification for centrists as Joe Biden.
Hang on, you've just hurt his feelings.
I had tears of rage.
You see that? You hurt his feelings.
Tears of rage. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. Hey, Joe, thanks, bud. I appreciate that. Okay. How about a marriage license? Do you think a marriage license should have to be renewed after a certain period of time?
I'm one of those people, I think that it's, you know, they didn't have marriage licenses until, what, 1920-something?
Yeah.
So I think the government shouldn't be involved in people's marriages.
I agree with you.
We shouldn't have to have them. They originated because they were trying to avoid biracial marriages.
Right.
It was a racist concept.
Yes.
BTW.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, the government should stay the hell out of it.
Yep.
What about prima nocta? Should we bring back prima nocta? That's the right on the...
Oh, yeah.
Come on, prima nocta. Nobody. It's actually a joke Tony Stark uses in one of the Avengers movies, but it's also from Braveheart.
You're the only one who got the joke.
I'm the only one who got that. Oh man, the right of prima nocta. So we were talking about the King of England earlier. I think that's where that comes from. I think it was
the
in
Magna
English.
Carta.
Yeah, and then the Magna Carta, right? Some snotty guy writes on Twitter, he writes, hey, history boy, didn't you know the Magna Carta was what took away the king's power? Like, what does he think? The king signed the Magna Carta and then the next day he had no power?
But we did say that.
We did say that. We did. But it's not like he signed it instantly and then he turned to dust like Thanos when he snapped his fingers. Like, it took No, that's from the other movie.
Oh, okay.
That's from Infinity War. Okay. If you haven't seen Infinity War by now, I can't help you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? By the way, that race, the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
First of all, thank you if you came out we had a great time. So many wonderful people there on Saturday, our Down and Derby event.
Like 1,200 people or something.
Yeah.
It was great.
And we drank some wine. I did a little wine tasting with Almathea and also with our buddy Jack Tomasello. It was a nice time. But that race, though, that's fascinating what happened with that horse. You know, because I thought he won. I told everybody, I said, bet maximum security. And then they turned the TV off at the bar that I was at after the event ended. And then they find out that they took it away from him.
It's crazy.
And the point is that this guy was not part of the club. The jockey was not part of the club. See? And that's
the
why they took it away. Yeah, the owners, right?
They're not like the... Hello, Penelope. What are you racing? You know.
That's literally how they talk.
Not, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not part of that whole snooty inner crowd.
And so that's part of the reason why they took it away from him, right? Because they were like, you're not one of us.
That's the speculation.
Yeah.
And not by him. He didn't bring that up. That has been written by, you know, those who watch this.
What was the official reason given, though? It was that he was on, his spot was on up against the rail, and he went out of the spot, right, and he could have caused the pileup? I don't follow horse racing, so I have no idea,
so what,
but that's what I've heard.
And Greg's correct. So what they're claiming is he veered a little bit one way, forcing the horses that were right by him, those jockeys who don't want to get injured or their horses, so that everybody has to move over then. So that it was quote-unquote interference because he... By doing that, forced them to move over,
right,
thus impacting the race. But then it's like, okay, so why wouldn't you give it to the second place horse, right, who's right behind maximum security? or the third
No, they
place.
Gave it to the one that they said maximum security bumped into or something, right?
But
is that right?
But he's way back there. He couldn't even catch up. Like, he wasn't even affected by it. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
He could,
the low energy horse.
The low energy.
And it was a muddy track, too.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah. Oh.
By the way, what happens if you won money? This is a great question that was asked by Evil Jared earlier. If you won money at a casino and then you walked out of there thinking you got money and turns out that they over... It was like, what happens with that money? Because now that we have sports betting, I'm sure that probably happened at
probably.
Some casinos, right?
I mean, unless on a big race like that, do they... What is the timing of the payout?
Yeah.
Do they
yeah.
have to wait?
Yeah, maybe they make you wait, you know, until it's officially... Because they
it's official.
Well, they officially announced it, but then they kind of reversed the decision or whatever, and it took forever.
Now, the owners plan to file an appeal with the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission.
He says today.
Yeah, now, so the horse will also skip the Preakness. So we're going to file an appeal. He said right after that race, I had the trainer call the stewards and very nicely asked them if they'd be willing to visit with us after the races were over. I said, we'll stay here until 11, 12 o'clock at night, whatever you want. And we won't be showing the films until Thursday. We didn't really have any alternative legally. The appeal has to be filed within 48 hours. So they say he was disqualified from first by racing stewards and placed 17th in the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby. It was the first disqualification due to race riding in the history of the event. It took 22 minutes to declare runner-up Country Horse the winner after deciding the maximum security interfered with several horses when he drifted out of the rail on the final turn. It was literally like an old TV show, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat all within a 22-minute period of time. Winning it was the most euphoric thing I've probably ever done in our lives, and disappointment when they took the horse down for the first time in history. We were stunned, shocked, and in total disbelief. It had never been done before. Now, what's fascinating is that the president even tweeted about this,
yes.
saying it was a bunch of PC BS that this happened, that they took it away from him, political correctness.
That was an interesting take.
I thought the same thing when it happened. I thought, oh, poor baby, the little horse bumped another horse, like, suck it up. It's horse racing.
Because that's, in the movies at least, that's what you see.
Yeah.
That they actually do it on purpose. They do it, I mean, I'm dealing with my 12-year-old kids playing dirty in lacrosse. I mean, that's part of sports. Look at basketball. Wow. Look at the talk, right?
Yeah.
Look at all the sports.
Now, everybody's telling me we got a bunch of deadbeat gamblers in this audience.
Yeah.
So these deadbeat gamblers keep telling me.
Track.
I know. They're all, they don't pay out until the result is final, apparently. So
until the result is final.
Yeah.
But the result, I mean, well.
Pete's in Bluebell. Pete, go ahead. You do that or what?
No, I enjoy watching it, Rich. And I enjoy, as you know, listening to your show. The reason why the long shot Country House got paid was because he was the second horse across the finish line, even though he wasn't directly interfered with. It's sort of unfair. The two horses that were directly interfered with really didn't get anything. It was the Country House, that long shot, basically had a clear break to the finish line. So he got paid.
Hmm.
And as I wanted maximum security to win, this stuff goes on, you know, like I don't go to the races, but it goes on all day, every track. Horses get knocked down. It's just a shame that a race of this magnitude it had to happen.
Yeah, and then, I mean, there's 22 horses racing, right? So,
yeah.
All right, Pete, thank you very much, bud. John is in Jersey. Yes, John.
Rich, you guys don't know what you're talking about on horse racing.
Yeah, tell me, John.
All right, first, they declared maximum security interfered with other horses. He gets placed behind the horse he interfered with. They're saying he interfered with Long Range Toddy, and he was placed from first to seventh. Country House ran second. He wins by default because it took the maximum security down.
Right.
But the question is, I think they were wrong in their judgment. I think the one, War of Will, rushed up onto maximum security and caused his own interference, as opposed to maximum security cutting him off. That's where they were wrong. They were wrong in their judgment of what happened.
But did you lose some money on Saturday or what? Did you make some money or lose some money?
I lost a fortune.
Yeah.
I had a maximum security bailout that I would have made a ton of money, and they took him down. But that's what happened.
All right.
They took them down for the wrong reason. But when it plays to him,
I think they've already shot him right now, right? Haven't they shot him already?
He's glue now.
Maximum security?
No. Is he running the Belmont?
No. I thought they shoot any horse that doesn't win. Is that true?
No. No.
All right. I got
that. That was the mortgage.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, they take him out back and they shoot him, right?
So they become a little baby glue stick.
Yeah.
Stop. No, but John's point, that's just it. If you are saying, yes, there was interference, then the horse that was in second place that was allegedly interfered with, that should be the second place one.
No, but it was a horse that came in, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I hate like, horse racing.
I don't know.
Like, yeah. If I shove you two guys aside and some low-energy, slower horse gets a pocket and moves up, that's not fair. You just ruled that there was interference.
I think the problem is everybody was drunk. I'm in juleps and nobody was paying attention. Wayne is in Conshohocken. Yes, Wayne.
Yeah, and they shoot greyhounds when they don't win, not horses.
Oh, greyhounds, okay.
Yeah, they're a dime a dozen, you know? Hey, I was a groom years ago. That stuff happens every race, every track, every day. It's like NASCAR. He didn't veer out in front of the horse. He drifted. You know what I mean? He meandered in front of the horse. It was not a deliberate move by the jockey, which they do. That was just, you know, it was so minor, it was ridiculous. And the fact that it took so long to figure it out tells me, you know, there's something wrong with his picture. It don't pass the smell test.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't pass the smell test. Somebody's paying off somebody, you know what I mean, Wayne?
Exactly. And that's the end. I'll throw this out there.
Yeah.
It's the first time I ever saw a woman as a track person. A woman making a decision in the room about the video.
Who was that, a woman?
One of the referees.
Yeah, it was one woman.
Every time you involve women in anything, they ruin it, Wayne. Am I right? Every time. All right, so this state representative, Brian Sims, this guy's making a lot of news today. And he is a clown. Thanks for being here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Now, this guy, this state legislative member, he made some news because he was yelling at this elderly woman who was peacefully protesting outside of Planned Parenthood. So he got in her face, he screamed at her, old white woman, old white lady, very rude, threatening her, screaming at her. We played a little bit of that earlier. Well, now it turns out that this psycho has another video out there. This time, he's going after people and offering them a reward for people's identities. This is disturbing stuff. Now, this is, again, State Representative Brian Sims, Pennsylvania legislator, who went out there and proudly, by the way, proudly got in the face of this peaceful woman who was just trying to do a peaceful prayer protest outside of Planned Parenthood, her First Amendment right of protest and religion, and she was doing nothing that hurt anybody, and she was doing nothing. But, you know, this guy, he knows better than you, and he gets in everybody's face, and he tries to shut down speech. So, now there's a video of him offering $100 to out pro-life minors. Okay, so these are teenagers now. And here he is offering money to people. This is a member of the state legislature in Pennsylvania who represents Philadelphia. He's a snarky, pompous jerk, quite frankly. Take a listen.
Hi, everyone. Representative Brian Sims here, and I am outside the Planned Parenthood at Southeastern Pennsylvania. Oh, no, they're leaving now. What we've got here is a bunch of protesters, a bunch of pseudo-Christian protesters who've been out here shaming young girls for being here.
Hi.
And so here's the deal. I've got $100 to anybody who will identify any of these three.
So we're
going to donate to Planned Parenthood.
Babies,
I'm going to donate to Planned Parenthood. So look, a bunch of white
more.
People standing out in front of a Planned Parenthood, shaming
I'm
people.
Really
There's
sorry.
Nothing Christian about what you're doing.
I'm
nothing Christian at all about what you're doing. Nothing Christian or loving or godly about what you're
doing.
Now
let's stop it for a second. So he's telling these girls, a bunch of white people. So again, he's a guy, these are girls, right? So he's what we call mansplaining right now. Then he's white, he's a white guy, but he's also pointing out that they're white. So he's a self-hating white person, and he's also mansplaining to these young girls, these teenage girls. And one girl says, I'm far from white. So perhaps she's biracial or maybe she's Latino. Who knows, right? But he doesn't care. He doesn't care because he's just going to lecture and he's going to mock them. All they're doing is protesting. That's it. They're just protesting, not trying to hurt anybody. They're just standing on the street, exercising their First Amendment right, their God-given right to protest. It's all they're doing, not hurting anybody. He's a member of the legislature now. So he's sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, the Constitution of the State of Pennsylvania, a Commonwealth. And there he is now harassing people who are just trying to exercise their right. All right, go ahead.
So I've got $100 to anybody who will identify. $100. See if you got some friends out here. $100. It'd be easier if you just give me your name and your address.
Rich Bohinsky.
Rich, where are you from?
Lansdale.
Rich, what makes you think that it's your job to tell women what's right for their bodies? And the truth is, I'm not really asking because I don't care. Shame on you. Guys, Planned Parenthood out here faces attacks daily from people like this, from pseudo-Christians saying that they are here to somehow protect their own version of Christianity. So do me a favor. If you've watched this, please consider giving $100 to Planned Parenthood. I'm going to do the same.
All right. So again, he's raising money for Planned Parenthood. He's an elected official raising money for Planned Parenthood. And he's harassing these peaceful people, and he wants their addresses and he wants their information so that he can put it out there so that people could go to their homes and harass them. That's what he'll do. And again, he goes, he knows what's best for people to be able to get their voices across. And if you don't like what he has to say, he'll shame you and he'll harass you. Now, is that the end of that, Greg?
That was the end of
it. Okay, can you go back to the other one for me, please? From the beginning, this arrogant, pompous jerk. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Representative Brian Sims here, and I'm once again out in front of Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania. It's not only in my district, it's the most heavily protested Planned Parenthood, I believe, in the country. And today's protester, now, she is an old white lady who's going to try to avoid showing you
her face.
See,
old white lady.
So
this guy's obsessed with race, this guy.
How many children have you clothed today? I'm sorry, I missed your answer. How many children have you clothed today? How about how many children have you put shoes on their feet today? Have you fed any children today? Or have you just stood out in front of a Planned Parenthood shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do? Huh? If you hear about the children, you can pray at home for children. It's probably the same place that you feed a child, but you're not. Instead, you're out here shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do.
Now, let's stop it for a second. Now, this woman has a constitutional right to be there, right? She's on a public street. She has a constitutional right to be there to protest, and all she's doing is peacefully praying. But even if she was yelling or holding a sign, she'd have a constitutional right to do that as well. But he's now, and this is ironic, right? He's shaming her for exercising her constitutional right. Shaming her. And then he says, what have you done to help a child today? So I guess the standard is you can't be pro-life and protest unless you've done something to help a child. I guess that's the standard, apparently, that he's set. Now, remember, he's an elected official, okay? He's an elected official, so his job is to ensure that the Constitution is upheld. But now, like a thug, like a fascist government thug, he's there intimidating a person who's probably his constituent. We don't know, but we have to assume she is. He's harassing her and intimidating her. Go ahead.
Who would have thought that an old white lady would be out in front of a Planned Parenthood telling people what's right for their bodies? Shame on you. Shame on you for hiding your face at the same time that you're shaming other people. Again, the same laws that protect me protect you, and that's okay. You're allowed to be out here. That doesn't mean that you have a moral right to be out here.
He decides what's
shame
moral.
On you. What you're doing here is disgusting. This is wrong. You have no business being out here. Disgusting. Shame on you, ma'am, for standing out here thinking you know what's right for other people's bodies. Shame on you. Shame. Shame. Shame on you. There's no faith that tells you you are right and everybody else is wrong. There's no faith that tells you it's your job
to stand out here
and shame
right?
people for something that they have a right to do. This is disgusting.
Now, let's stop it for a second. Now, so he's shaming her for something she has a right to do. And you hear how just angry he is. He's angry at this woman. She's hurt nobody. She didn't go in there and try to kill a guy giving an abortion. She didn't try to hurt a woman trying to get one. All she's doing is standing there peacefully. But he's in her face and he's yelling and he's shaming her and he's harassing her and he's embarrassing her. She's an American. She's probably a constituent of his, but and she has a right. But this guy is out there screaming in her face. Now, I want to ask you a question. Now, if an elected official was screaming in the face of a woman who was trying to go into an abortion clinic, do you think that would make national news? I do. I do. I think if an elected official, say a conservative elected official was screaming in the face of a woman who was walking into Planned Parenthood, screaming shame, 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 all these things, shame on you, how dare you, shame on you. Do you think that would make national news? 100% it would, right? 100%. Have you heard about this outside of the show today and maybe on Twitter? You have not, right? All right, keep going.
This is disgusting. This is wrong. This is shameful.
So please, if you're watching this, even if it's just $5 that you can give to Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania, this is the kind of stuff that they have to deal with. Cowards that won't show their face when others are looking, but they will shame every single woman, every single person of color, every single family that walks in here looking for help, looking for guidance. You know who this woman is, and if you can give me her address, we'll protest out in front of her home. Let's go protest out in front of her house and tell her what's right for her body. Please call the cops. Tell them Representative Brian Sims is standing in his district telling somebody that using the rights that they're using to protest women coming into Planned Parenthood is disgusting and it's wrong and it's shameful. You have no business being out here, and the rights that you have allow you to be out here are very different than the moral standing that you think
so
you have.
So he knows morally.
There's nothing
right,
Christian about what you're doing. There's nothing loving. There's nothing kind.
All right, now understand something, too. When he asked for her address, right, at that point now he's intimidating her. He's harassing her. He's threatening her. Like, we'll put your address out there so people can go to your private home. Now, Planned Parenthood might be private, but it's on a public street. Also gets public money, by the way. But her home, she has a right to be there without people harassing her at her home. But he wants to threaten her. He wants to intimidate her. He wants to harass her. He'll have her people show up at her private home. She's a private citizen. He's an elected official. He's a jackass is what this guy is. He's an arrogant, pompous, elitist little jerk, sniveling little coward, picking on little old ladies and teenagers. But hey, tough guy, come down here, yell in my face. Let's have a debate. Or I guess you only pick on little old ladies. Is that it? That's Representative Brian Sims, State Representative Brian Sims. He's a jerk. He's an arrogant, immature, little elitist jerk. Imagine this guy being in charge of the First Amendment. Imagine that guy. Now, he's on Twitter at Brian Sims PA. All right? Brian Sims PA. BrianSimPA. SimSPA. We called his office, but his voicemail's full. And little coward's not answering his phone. Little coward's not being on Twitter right now. He's a little coward. He only picks on old ladies and teenagers. What an absolute little wuss. Yes! So glad you're here today. Big announcement tomorrow. Join us live. We'll give it to you live. That'll be fun. 855-839-1210. Let's see. Tom is on the New Jersey Parkway, which I think is called the Garden State Parkway. What's up, Tom?
Nothing. Hold on one second. I just want to do it, Joel. Hold on.
All right. Take your time. Sorry. So take your time. Sorry. So, Joe, there's the Garden State Parkway and the New Jersey Turnpike. Which one is he on?
He told me New Jersey.
I'm on the Garden State Parkway.
All right. Who the hell calls it the New Jersey Parkway?
Joe.
I didn't say the New I just said the Parkway. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right.
Garden State Parkway.
Ah, copping out. All right.
I'm sorry. I don't deserve to call into the show. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Tom. Well, go ahead. Make it. You pay your toll? You paid your toll?
Yeah, I'm all good. I gave my piece of money or my money to the state.
All right,
you know.
Good, because Phil Murphy needs your money.
Yes.
all right, well, go ahead. Make your point, for God's sake. Go ahead.
Listen, perhaps we can find out where this politician lives and tell the protesters so when he asks for their address, they give his address, and he goes, wait, what? No, that's my address.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then they go and protest his house and see how he likes having his address known.
Well, you
it's
know,
got to be public knowledge, right?
It is. Oh, of course, elected officials are all public record where they live. But Tom, thank you, bud. Drive safe. I mean, that's the thing. It's little old lady, right? His words, white, little old lady, praying the rosary.
Well, she's clearly praying. She has her rosary beads in her hand. She's looking down with her eyes closed. She's not hiding from him.
No.
She's been praying. And she clearly is a senior citizen.
He calls her old lady.
Old lady.
Little old lady. That's who he picks on, little old ladies. That jerk. Come down here and pick on me, you tough guy. Come on down. Come on down here, you tough guy. We called him. We reached out to him. But he's not calling back, right?
No.
He's not calling back. What a wuss. What an absolute wuss. Now, yes, Greg.
And he's been also, everybody's been hashtagging and mentioning him in the Twitter. So, I mean, he obviously is very social media active. So he's obviously ducking that as well.
Now, at Waltzing Matilda said, Rich, I called both his offices too and got the voicemail. Not only is this disgusting coward harassing this woman, in my opinion, he as an elected official is in my opinion, actively violating her First Amendment rights by threatening retribution. He is. He's harassing her. He's threatening her. All right, so what's the number again we can give out to people to call his office? Remember, it's a public office, so you're allowed to give out the numbers of public officials.
Okay, so his Philadelphia office is 215-246-1501, and his Harrisburg office is 717-783-4072.
And he's on Twitter, at Brian Sims PA, at horse's ass obnoxious jerk, I believe is on Twitter, at Brian Sims PA.
So Zeoli, if this were, let's say, a Muslim woman who was praying, doing a protest prayer, and it were a lawmaker, whatever, Republican, Democrat, would you be saying the same thing? Do you think it would be the same?
Yeah, I wonder if he said to her, take off the burqa while you're hiding your face. How that would go over. Because don't they hide the burqa, right? Covers the face.
Yeah. But it's their religion. They're not allowed to show their ankles, their face.
Take off. Why are you hiding? Take off the burqa. Take it off. What are you doing? Amazing. 855-839-1210. All right, we're running late. So go ahead, Greg. Do it.
Yes. Who won Twitter? I'm going to give it to Johnny Cook. He says, Rich, let's go to the beach, film the pretty girls, put it online, and offer $100 to anyone who can tell us their name and address. That's exactly what this creep was doing.
That's exactly what he's doing.
It's true.
Well said. Thank you. I'm wondering if he would like to debate me, or does he only pick on old ladies? What do you think? I got a feeling he wouldn't like to debate me. Let's see. Pick on old ladies. His words, old ladies. Old ladies. Isn't it disrespectful to call people old ladies, by the way?
Yeah, it's disrespectful. And again, though, when you look at it, she had her face down into her rosary before.
Even if she had her face down looking at her hands, what the hell does he care mocking this woman? It's pathetic. But you know what? The fact that she had a rosary is because he keeps bringing up Christianity because he hates her. It's very obvious. He detests her. He detests white people, Christians, people of faith.
Well, he was
just seething with anger.
He was raised Catholic, but he denounced it at age 16 because he was coming out. So part of this is, I think, a personal rage.
Well, you know what? He needs to put his personal rage aside because he's an elected official who took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And people have a First Amendment right to protest. So you're allowed to protest. Somebody needs to tell this moron that. Well, he knows this, but... And then also, I want to find out, we need to do an ethics investigation if it's okay to try to raise money for Planned Parenthood when you're an elected official. See, I'd like to know that, too. That's the other question I have. We're getting to the bottom of.
Rizzioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.